There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. It's been the ruin of many poor boy and me, oh Lord, for one. If I had listened to what my mama said, I wouldn't be in this fix today. But being so young and foolish, oh God, I let a rambler lead me astray.
I would say name that tune, Vinny, but since you're the person to send that tune to me, that kind of would defeat the purpose.
I would win this one.
That's Andy Griffith, believe it or not, everybody.
Late, great Andy Griffith.
The House of the Rising Sun from Andy Griffith. Shouts the blues and old-timey songs.
I actually, I knew the song because somebody had once played it for me. Just to demonstrate what a talented man Andy Griffith was, and people may not have realized that. Not only a great comedian, but a fantastic singer. And anyway, upon the news today of his untimely passing, I thought about that and played it, and I thought, this is right up Brian's alley anyway. You should play this.
You know, I realize that any passing is untimely, but he was pretty old.
That's the best word I could think of off the top of my head.
Sure.
It's sad news.
I am very sad to hear that Andy Griffith is no longer with us, because many people probably don't know this, but when I was growing up, Andy Griffith was on the television all the time, because my mom loved the Andy Griffith Show. In fact, she loved the show so much that before the days of DVD and Blu-ray collections, she powered up the old VCR, much like Granny, and she had every single episode of the Andy Griffith Show on videotape, and she would watch them over and over and over and over again. If you were in my house during my teenage years, you have probably also seen every single episode of the Andy Griffith Show. And a great, great program that was. I don't think she was a big fan of Matlock, but she was a huge fan of the Andy Griffith Show. So it's very sad to hear that Andy Griffith is no longer with us. But with one person leaving, we are here on this show to welcome a new life into my house. What a segue that was.
I'm pregnant.
Vinny is in fact going to give birth.
No, just fat.
We brought the kitten home, Skippy, a couple of days ago. We actually were going to wait until after we got back from Vegas, but Skippy had been living with his two brothers and his mom. And one of the brothers, the wildest one actually, got adopted out first, so the room was much calmer over at Whitney's mom's house. That's where they were living, in a room there. Actually, in Whitney's brother's room. And for those of you that know me personally, you probably are shocked to hear that Whitney did, in fact, have a brother. In fact, he lives about 20 minutes from here. And he's, I don't want to say he's the black sheep of the family, but
no, Quinn is the black sheep of the family.
Oh, Vinny. There are people that know Whitney and Briley and Quinn and have known them for years and are stunned to learn they have a brother. There is, in fact, a brother. Anyway, the babies were living in the brother's room, who's long since moved out, and one of them was adopted. That left two of them and mom. And then your girlfriend's uncle, in fact,
yes,
decided to adopt the mom and the other baby. So I went over there to say goodbye to the mom and the other baby, and I suddenly realized that as soon as those two were taken, little Runty, as he'd been called, since he was in fact the runt, was going to be all alone in that house for over a week, and I could not handle this. So I said, let's take the cat home today. So we took it home, and we are in the introduction process, which, for those of you that recall when we got Tiggy, is a long process. We had two cats, Snorky and Gracie. Gracie passed away. She had FIP. And we decided to get a new little devil. And we got Tiggy, and we read a lot online about how to introduce a new cat to the household, because Snorky was the alpha cat here in this house before Gracie passed away.
I was going to say before.
Yeah, those days are over. And the introductory process, to make a long story short, consists of quarantining the new cat, and you slowly introduce the two. For example, we let the new one play with one of the old one's toys, and then we bring the toy out so the new cat can kind of sniff it. And you do this for several days, and eventually we put the new cat in a carrier, and we let the other cat come in and look at it for a while, and much hissing ensued. Essentially, Snorky was attempting to put Tiggy in her place and explain to Tiggy that you may be new here, but I'm in charge. Well, those days are over. Tiggy took over. She is the new alpha cat. Can't say alpha male because she's a female, but she's in charge around here.
Queen of the pride.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's actually much smaller than Snork, and they grapple, and Tiggy just beats her every time, and Snork runs off eventually. And
Tiggy chases her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tiggy's in charge around here. So anyway, we quarantined the new cat, and they have not glimpsed each other yet. But man, oh man, is Tiggy not happy. And it's funny because when we first got Tiggy and Snorky was in charge for a brief period of time, we took them both to the vet. And we took them into the room and we were waiting for the vet. And Snork, who is usually such a sweet cat, I think it was Snork, might have been Tiggy, one of them started hissing at the other in the vet's room. And we concluded, and this may sound crazy, but we concluded that the cat was very unhappy being there and was taking it out on the other cat. So the reason I bring this up is because Tiggy, ever since we brought the new cat home, Tiggy has not seen Skippy. We've never opened the door. They've not had any glimpse of each other. All she knows is that there's a new carrier here with a new smell, and there's crying coming from Briley's room up here. And Tiggy is pissed off. And she takes it out on Snork. She hisses at Snork all the time. She growls at Snork. When they go to eat their dinner together, there's just, I don't know what Tiggy's thinking, but she is very upset that there's a new cat in the house. She is well aware there's a new cat here somewhere, and it's all Snorky's fault. Poor Snork is like, Snork is complete 180 from when she used to be the alpha. Now she's the beta, and she's fine with this. And I think she's excited to have a new cat here. And Tiggy just hisses at her and swats at her and gives her the cold shoulder. They don't play together. They don't sleep together. Nothing. It's on. And Snorky just backs away and looks at me with confusion like, why the fuck's this cat so mad at me? I'm like, it's okay, Snork. She'll get over it. And Tiggy is starting to get over it, but she's still just, she's so angry. I've never even seen this cat behave like this, but she is mad. She's getting better. There's been less hissing today. I think she's starting to realize that, okay, there's a new cat here, but I'm still in charge. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So when we come back from Vegas, I guess we're going to try the carrier gimmick and see how that goes. I should note that Snorky has been sitting outside the other cat's door and is curious. She does not seem angry. She kind of, I realize I'm reading too much into this. I'm anthropomorphizing my cat, but she seems excited that there's a new cat here. And in fact, today, we opened the door a crack when Tiggy was not around, and we let Snork look at the baby. And Snork had absolutely no problem with this little cat. And the first time we did the door gimmick with Tiggy, Snorky hissed, swatted, punched, the whole nine yards, trying to let this cat know who was boss. But apparently, I think Snorky and this little devil are going to get along just fine. Because they've had a very amicable first meeting. There was absolutely no hissing. There was no anger. There were no teeth. Just kind of Snork looking at her and kind of reaching through the door to touch her paw. And it was very nice, actually. So I guess now we just have to deal with the lioness. So anyway, that's where we're at, everybody.
That's the news.
That's the news. What'd you think of this little devil?
He's adorable.
Very small.
This is the first time I've seen him in person, and I had seen photos before, and this This will be high on the list of stupidest things I've ever said. I didn't recognize him. I actually asked because your wife was in the room with him, and I heard her messing around up there, and I shouted hello, and she said, hi, I want to see the cat. And I said, okay. And I came up and asked, this is the actual question, is that him? No, there's a fourth cat running around.
Sure.
So, yeah. He's a little fed up of being in that room, frankly, which is kind of amazing, because I assume that's bigger than the space he's been living.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With way more toys.
Yeah, yeah, way more toys.
And less other cats eating his food.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be happier, but no, he wants to see what else is out in the world. Probably wants to see who these other cats are, that I'm sure he can smell them, too. And he played with the shoelace a little bit. First, I was making him chase it, and he caught it, and was dragging it around, and then he got it tangled around himself, and boy, he hated that.
Yeah.
He wanted that done immediately. And then he's got the toy where it's the ball, little ball inside the plastic circle,
mm-hmm.
and I've got my cat one of these, too, and he will not play with it. I've done everything I can, and this cat loves that thing.
Well, it's funny, because they actually have different toys depending on the age of your cat, and that is a baby toy.
I guess.
And Snork absolutely never in her life played with that thing. But Tiggy, to this day, she just passed a year. She still plays with that thing. She loves that thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I've my cat's just stupid. It's part of the problem. But getting him to play with his toys is very hard. And what he'll do, he's got a couple now that he kind of likes. He'll chase a laser beam. I've got a ball of yarn that he will not play with, a ball of yarn like you've seen cats do. But if I drag the yarn across the floor, then he will track it.
Sure.
And go to kill it. I bought him a scratching post that it's actually not even meant to be scratched on, because he will only scratch a yoga mat.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm fine with that, though, because that's yoga mats.
Well, ours
cheap.
Do that, but it's actually yoga mats we use.
Right. So this is an old yoga mat that, frankly, was all sweat stained and needed to be replaced anyway. So I just chopped it up, and I staple gunned that to his scratching post, and he scratches the hell out of that now.
Wow. So, you are now a crazy cat person.
Yeah.
Even I've never done something that nutty.
So, yeah, that's a win-win. Anyway, this other scratching post, he loves. I've got a brush he loves. He loves to be brushed, but I'm not there all the time.
Really? Our cats hate being brushed.
Like, he loves to be brushed. He's also a good at least 3 years older than any of yours. So he is a cat, not a kitten. But
yeah.
So this scratching post at the bottom, it has like little rubber bristles. So he can. My theory would be that he would brush himself. I've had this thing for like 6 months, and it's only the past week I've actually caught him using it at all. So the other thing I've got, there were some Nerf darts around my house because we had a Nerf gun fight, and he'll toss those things around. Bottle caps, occasionally he'll play with those.
Wait a second, who had a Nerf gun fight?
Well, to be honest, I was a witness, but we've had a buddy of mine has had a couple of birthday parties at his house.
I see.
Because he has some friends that live up north and some friends who live south in the Portland area, and my house is in the middle, and it's a convenient place to have a big shindig. So. Mm. Anyway, some darts got left behind, and he likes to play with those. And then there's a, it's not a, I thought it was actually a ping pong ball. It's not, but it's the same size and shape. It's a little white ball, and it's been decorated to look like a mouse. And it's the kind of thing, well, it's been sitting out there, and he never really got into it. And now he will attack it violently in a crazed manner for 10 seconds. Then he will leave it alone for a week.
Huh.
So I'm not sure if he's getting more comfortable or not, honestly.
Well, it sounds like it. It's much more amicable than it used to be.
He is. He's still stupid and crazy, and still runs away if I reach for him most of the time.
Well, everybody, I haven't even introduced the show yet, but it is the 4th of July.
It's the cat hour.
Yeah, so happy Independence Day, everybody. And now you've spent 15 minutes listening to me tell stories about my cats and Vinny's cat. Mm-hmm. We're both heading to Vegas. I'm heading out tomorrow. I don't know when Vinny's heading out. But Thursday...
I'm flying out Thursday, but effectively, the vast majority of you will see me on Friday.
Mm. So, as I've noted on many shows, if you are in the Vegas area, or you happen to decide that you live in LA and you want to go to the convention after all, the thing to do is to go to the front page of our website for a listing of events. You can always email f4wfan@hotmail.com, which is, in fact, Ed's real email address. I can't hate Ed when I hear... his email address, f4wfan@hotmail.com.
The only way that would be better is if it said f4wcustomer.
Oh, Vinny.
Then you're just reminded he's giving you money all the time.
Very sweet. But Or you can follow me, preferably follow me, just so he doesn't tell you to go to the Catmaraditan when he means to spell cosmopolitan. But you can follow me at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. And that will also bump me towards the big 10,000 mark, which I'm shooting for now for my own personal edification. So follow us there, and we got a lot of fun stuff coming up over the weekend. We have a lot of shows coming as well. Got a giant suitcase packed with stuff, and should be a good time. So without further ado, it is, however, time to talk wrestling, unfortunately. Raw and SmackDown, which actually two not horrible shows in a row.
Yeah, honestly.
Has to be a record.
There was actually two SmackDowns.
I don't feel like talking about Fridays. What were the high points of Friday, if there were any?
The only two things about Friday SmackDown. One, they're doing a SmackDown Money in the Bank match, and Tyson Kidd and Damian Sandow are in it.
Indeed.
That's news. Two, I thought the Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus, Alberto Del Rio three-way was a hell of a match.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I thought it was a great, great TV match. That's all I remember, and I watched the show less than 12 hours ago.
Yeah, it happens.
Wait, I did watch 6 hours of wrestling today. It's been a long day. Yeah, so that was the SmackDown from Friday. So
a fine report.
Thank you.
Let's start with the current stuff. Raw from Monday, which was live.
Raw had one of those segments where one guy comes out and talks, then another guy comes out and talks, then another.
It sounds like
another.
My exact review from yesterday, word for word. I hate these segments.
I could not hate this one because John Cena referenced Manimal, which is an obscure, horrible 1980s action primetime drama where a guy could turn into animals.
Yeah.
He could turn into a wolf and a bird. And John Cena talked about it on Raw in 2012.
Yeah.
And me and about eight other people went, yeah, Manimal. So the only thing I got out of this was that it ended up with a big brawl. Show was last one standing at the end. And somewhere, did Kane turn babyface and I missed it?
I think when he broke it with AJ, that was his babyface turn.
I see. Yeah, he was like brawling with probably with one of the heels here. And then when Show was going to chokeslam Cena, Kane made the save. I thought that's an odd thing for a monster to do.
You know, I think the problem with John Cena and all this stupid comedy we have to see every week is that John Cena has a very dry sense of humor, and sometimes he can be extremely funny, and I know he makes a lot of people laugh. That doesn't mean he has to do that on television. I know that, for example, Finley is a guy with a dry sense of humor that is pretty hilarious, actually. That's not his character. Fit Finley does not come out and tell jokes. He comes out and he kicks your ass.
Yeah.
So I think that if John Cena is going to be a main eventer, a serious world title main eventer, then he should stop doing so many stupid jokes, because that is preventing me and a lot of others from taking this man seriously. Obviously, he's still very successful. He's the only one that really means anything. But perhaps he'd mean a hell of a lot more if everybody was a fan of John Cena, or at least significantly more than are today.
I think Lance has said that he loves serious Cena and hates comedy Cena. It'd be fine if it was comedy once in a while, but yeah,
there is a time and a place for comedy.
Sure.
When a guy kicked your ass and beat the hell out of you, that's not the time for comedy on the next interview.
Right. And also when he talks about how he doesn't care about wins and losses, he's just going to come out and fight. And then sometimes he does care about wins and losses. So it's just an inconsistent, poorly conceived, poorly written character. We had a random eight-man. The primetime players, Cody Rhodes, David Otunga, against Christian and Kofi and Truth and Santino. The babyfaces came out, and I was thinking, well, you got the U.S. champion and the IC champion, and they're playing Kofi's music. So that buries both those belts. And then Cole reminded me that Truth and Kofi are still the tag team champs.
Mm-hmm.
Completely forgot. So first the primetime players walked out, then Cody walked out, then Brodus came out. So you had Otunga by himself against Brodus Clay, his women, four men, and the Cobra. This is not fair. He did not win. Then they hit the finishers on him for a while, then they all danced with kids. The only good thing about any of this was Christian dancing. That was comedy.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Alberto sucked up to Teddy Long backstage. Teddy said, you're getting your one-on-one title shot at the pay-per-view. Random. After all these months, the way he finally gets this one-on-one title shot is by not winning a three-way on SmackDown. So, that was for the pay-per-view. Tonight, Teddy had him booked against a surprise opponent. They replayed the Raw segment with Shane training Vince for the Royal Rumble. This is a great segment, and they didn't even play the best part, which is where Vince was on. He was on a treadmill or the Stairmaster or something, and he's working. He was going hard on this thing, and he's sweating, and he's shouting, and Shane is screaming at him, who do you hate? Who do you hate? And Vince is screaming, I hate Austin! I hate Austin! And then Shane calmly asks, who do you hate? And Vince calmly responds, I hate Austin. And then went back to running. Trust me, it was funny. It was much funnier in 1999.
He had to be there.
By them, yes, than by me and doing it in 2012. So Alberto's surprise opponent was Sin Cara. Sin Cara, I believe they said they were in Mexico for the show. They were certainly chanting C all night long.
They were in Texas.
Texas. I was wrong. They were close to Mexico. But anyway, Sin Cara, they play his music, gets his big reaction, and he runs into the ring, and Alberto immediately catches him with a knee to the head, beats him up for a while, puts him in the arm breaker, and that was the end of it. That was lame. AJ was backstage.
I still don't know what's up with Sin Cara, by the way.
What do you mean?
I mean, well, I immediately assumed something was up.
Like he's injured or they're mad at him again?
Injured, failed something, I don't know. I don't know, that's just my assumption. But I heard nothing today. And
just the random start again, stop again.
Could very
pushes.
Well be.
That's why that would be my first guess. I could be wrong. So AJ was backstage taping up her wrist like Punk. Ryan arrived and she's going to be the special ref, so he wants to be on her good side. He's apologized for how he had treated her. Said he had screwed up and he didn't know how to handle that, and he had taken her out on him, and he had taken it out on her. And that was wrong. And she said this apology was sweet, and he replied, yeah, it is. So then she said Brian had never cared about her, and she couldn't wait to match and wait to win She couldn't wait to win her match and run into Punk's arms, and then she bit the flower off a rose. Wacky.
It's quite a euphemism.
I suppose. We had Paul Heyman. Paul's so great. They show him on screen. It says, coming up next, Paul Heyman live via satellite. And there's
he looked at the guy.
There's a tech nerd, like putting his mic on and stuff.
Paul was so appalled.
Paul,
he could not believe the depths.
This man was covered in mud and filth touching him. He cannot stand this man's presence. So after break, Paul just makes a very short statement. He says Brock has made a decision whether or not he will face Hunter. He will announce that decision in person on the 1,000th show. Then he kind of rubbed the salt in Hunter's wound for a while. Said Hunter wanted the match because he knew that Brock would destroy him. And this would be a glorious way for Hunter to end his career and go off to being a soccer dad and an office geek. He could take a violent beating and go off on a shield. And then he just started giggling. That was great. We had Vicky and Dolph versus AJ and Sheamus. AJ pinned Vicky with a shining wizard, and Cole called this move.
Vicky didn't even get her hand up, and I thought, oh my god, but apparently she was all right.
That was the weirdest moment of the year. AJ pinned Vicky Guerrero with a shining wizard, and Michael Cole identified the move.
Well, the shining wizard is her move.
Vicky Guerrero took a shining wizard.
Well, yeah.
That's the weird, and Cole knew it! Bizarre. So AJ grabbed her mic, and she started shouting yes, and she went up the ramp. She went backstage. She immediately found Punk. He was on the phone. He told her to hang on. This pissed her off. She asked him what he thought of her match. He said, I didn't see it. I was on the phone with my sister. This pissed her off more. She said, so you weren't paying attention to me? And she got sad and she left. And Punk was left standing there shrugging his shoulders like, I was on the phone. And every man in America just nodded knowingly. We have all been there. Heath Slater beat Doink the Clown. There's a Doink the Clown appreciation thread on our board right now.
You've got to be kidding me.
It was not this Doink. It was Matt Bourne being evil and scary and awesome. So this Doink came out. Heath beat him. Out came Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah.
He pretended to like Heath. Then he hit him with a diamond cutter, and that was that. was an easy payday for good old Paige.
Sure was. I don't know how big a payday, but it was an easy payday.
It was easy, and he got to wear a shirt with his yoga site on it. They didn't plug it on the screen, but at least his shirt made TV. Got a nice video of John Cena visiting injured troops. Kane wrestled Big Show in a no DQ match. The only thing here that was any good was when they were brawling on the floor and Big Show dropped Kane with a super kick. Swear to God that happened.
I like how they were talking about how he got his foot up so high and it was like, eh, it's a little above his belt. He's just tall.
It was... Yeah, I mean, hitting Kane in the jaw is less impressive for Big Show than it would be for, well, AJ. But compare Big Show is about the same size as the Great Khali. Great Khali on SmackDown fell down throwing a clubbing forearm. Big Show threw a super kick, and it looks fine.
So you're...
He's much better athlete than the Great Khali.
Yes, this is an unfair comparison.
All right. So
a bear could throw a higher kick than Great Khali.
So everything else about this match sucked. There's a point where Kane grabbed a chair and Shohei spear, and both guys acted hurt, and the crowd didn't know how to react, and then Shohei chokes them and won. Got no reaction. Segment sucked. They're mad at Eve. She had other interests in her life, and they hate that. So first, Teddy made her wear a giant name tag, which is just revenge for all the times that Eve made him wear a name tag. So then Eve accused AJ of stealing her gimmick, told her to go cry. AJ buried her for getting into movies and reality shows.
Yeah.
And then said she would show Eve how to get attention.
Yep. This was not the end of the humiliation for Eve over the
next... No, frankly, that was very minor. That was a typical wrestling segment. There was more to come on SmackDown. Alberto's favorite Raw moment of all time was DX invading WCW.
Did anyone in the entire world believe a single word of this?
No.
I know a lot of these have seemed phony in the past, but the idea of young Dos Caras Jr. sitting in front of the TV watching DX invade WCW and wondering what they were going to do, I was like, gotta be kidding me. Yeah. It's the best you could come up with. You couldn't say, like, I don't know, some Rey Mysterio win. I guess he's a heel or something like that, but you wouldn't know watching this video, so what difference does it make?
They could have done anything, yeah. I just like... They left out the best part, which was when they went down the ramp and the WCW guys closed the door, and X-Pac very calmly walked up to it, just kind of knocked on the door and shouted to whoever was inside that if Eric Bischoff was around, Sean Waltman would like to speak to him. Made me laugh then, makes me laugh now. Back to Raw. Tyson Kidd pinned Tensai in 30 seconds with a schoolboy.
Yep.
Did nothing for nobody.
Oh, come on. That's two wins in a row for Tyson Kidd.
At least the one in SmackDown was a good match. He won in 30 seconds with a schoolboy.
Yeah.
So then Tensai beat up Sakamoto. Still nobody cares about him. Brian and Jericho had a fun meeting where they argued about who had a cooler jacket, and they started screaming catchphrases at each other. This, much like the Shane and Vince stuff, was funny, and it would not be funny if I had tried to imitate it. And Punk and Cena had a meeting. Punk said, just listen to me, everything will be all right. And Cena agreed and laughed and walked away, and Punk was like, that went nowhere. Josh Matthews tried to interview Tyson in the locker room about his big win. Tensai jumped him and destroyed him.
Now, this made it mean nothing for anybody.
Pretty much, yeah.
This was the problem, not the match. Guys win matches quickly, you know?
All right, yeah.
He beat the man clean with a schoolboy. That was good. Especially after he was coming off another win on SmackDown. He was on a streak.
It would have been better to win a good match than to win a 30-second match. He did not win. Tensai fucked up. So then Tensai got his revenge here to beat him up to make sure nobody got over. I agree with you that by the end of the night, neither of them were any better off than they had been going in. In fact, probably both worse. So we had our main event. Jericho and Daniel Bryan versus John Cena and CM Punk. Needless to say, it was good. Punk got the hot tag and ran wild. Cena and Jericho brawled to the back. So AJ came down. She had said earlier she was going to get attention. So she came down to her music, skipping around the ring. And much to her dismay, Brian and Punk just kept fighting each other and paid her no heed. This pissed her off. So then they collided, where both guys went for a crossbody, and they apparently broke all their ribs because they stayed on the mat for like 5 minutes.
You know, somebody was going off about how I didn't get it. that these two guys were ignoring AJ. And I saw it as they were just busy. Were we supposed to expect that they would stop wrestling to deal with her? They were in the middle of a battle. They just kept going.
Well, I see your point. Every other time she has come out has distracted everybody.
I see.
They've established that. So I took this as, you know, we've seen somebody, probably lots of people probably, have been complaining that one of the problems with this angle is that it makes Punk look whipped and desperate. He's like he's wrapped around AJ's finger, and that's not good. So here on this show, earlier you have him just, I didn't watch your match, I was on the phone. He was standing up for himself for once, and then he's, you know, continuing to fight here as AJ came out, and that's why that just annoyed her more. So then, as noted, they're both down for hours and hours and hours, and AJ's takes her time, and she pulls out a table, and she sets it up, and she climbs the top rope. This is the PG equivalent of suicide, or at least a tease suicide. I was worried this is where they were going, and when it actually came down like this, it was...
I was worried she was going to jump off and hit the table and bounce off.
There's that, too. She may not have had the mass...
Her lack of weight.
Yes, to break the table.
Prevented the table from breaking.
Yeah. So, T is jumping, and then Brian jumped out and stood in front of the table saying, no, don't do it, don't do it. And then Punk ran up to the rope and tried to talk her into climbing down, said it'll be okay, and she kissed Punk passionately, and this stunned him, and then she pushed him off. And he fell into Brian through the table. So they're both laying there in the rubble, and she's laughing at them and shouting, yes, yes, yes. It entertained me. I did not see the finish of that coming.
I was stunned. I expected you to be infuriated.
Well, in no way did this make me want to watch them wrestle again, let alone on pay-per-view. You know, the idea of buying a pay-per-view to see who the special ref screws, that's stupid.
Well... That's WWE.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
There have been a million pay-per-views like that.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the latest one. I think I got my all the hatred for this out of my system last week. But, for what this was, as the finish to a Raw show, and yes, it's stupid the match had no finish, and it's stupid that Jericho and Cena just disappeared for convenience's sake. But as far as, you know, the story they're telling is that AJ is playing these guys for fools, and this was an effective way of doing that, and it was a good surprise at the end. I don't know where it was going, but I did not see AJ stunning Punk by kissing him and then pushing him off and putting both guys to the table by herself. I thought that part of it was creative.
That's I think everyone is doing a fine job playing the role, but I am sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of every single solitary match being decided by this woman. This is go-away heat for me. And as somebody on our board noted, there's a big argument on our board about the value of AJ. And there's one camp that's saying, well, because of this AJ storyline, they found a way to extend Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk for an extra 3 months. And there's the other camp, which I am in, which is like, if your writing team is so stupid that they can't find a better way to extend Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk for 3 months, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
And apparently they are. There's no other way that they can think of to keep us interested in this feud than to involve AJ in every single finish. That, to me, is an issue with the writing team.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a... I don't know if it's a deliberate attempt to appeal to women. I don't know if it's working that way. I don't really care. It's what you said. It's a bad way to get two wrestlers together. We have seen wrestling for literally hundreds of years, at least 100 years in this country, and building rivalries is not hard. One guy can't get the win over the fucker he hates, or the violence intensifies throughout the feud, or they're competing with each other to see who can beat someone else fastest or something, but nope. It's a girl, and she's making them both look stupid.
I would also like to note that for reasons of fairness, I should note that while we have a Raw rating, and while it is good, a 3-2, there are a lot of people that have determined that this is proof that this AJ storyline is over. And maybe, but we don't know because we only have a number, a 3-2. We do not know when the audience raised and when the audience lowered. This 3-2 could be people expecting Brock Lesnar to be on the show. Could be any number of reasons the show did a 3-2. So the next couple of days, we'll get quarter hours and we'll find out if, in fact, AJ is super over, as WWE believes she is, and as, quite frankly, she has not yet proven to be in the ratings. So, we shall see. Let's do SmackDown.
All right. This was the Great American Bash.
Did this was the lamest Great American Bash in the history of America.
I don't know, dude.
There's, bashes and...
You go back and we'll look at some of their paper... The WWE Great American Bash pay-per-views. I recall them being really
right
boring.
About that.
This is not a good one. Did you know there was a live SmackDown this week?
Yes.
I think I heard about it for the first time on the other SmackDown.
Mm.
That could...
That's actually when I heard about it was on SmackDown.
Well, there you go. And I watched that show today, so...
Well, if you'd watched it on Friday, you'd have known.
Perhaps they should promote their live SmackDowns with more than 5 days' notice.
Ah, they don't care.
They may well have done it on Raw, and I skipped it, but...
No, they did promote it on Raw as well.
On this week's Raw?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have done it on the one before.
Mm.
Anyway, so... It was the Great American Bash, so they had everyone backstage for a party. I think the Usos were hanging out, and Alicia was there, and the Colons. And Alicia, by the way, needs to wear this bikini every week. Just want to get that out of the way. So they couldn't get the grill lit. Oh, Eve, by the way, was there in her great-grandmother's dress with her name tag. And she was there to handle cleanup because Teddy was, you know, punishing her for the way she had treated him. So they could not get the grill lit. And then Kane walked by, and the music stopped, and everyone looked at him as he was scary. And then he used his magical powers to light the barbecue grill.
Vinny howled, everybody.
I thought this was fantastic.
He howled with laughter and rewound it.
Yes, I wanted to make sure you saw this great moment. I think it's probably because a couple of things. Just the idea is great, but they had their little, very small little patio grill that can cook about four burgers at a time. And they put, I think, Kane's normal ringside pyro inside this thing, a giant fireball erupted. That was part of the comedy.
Yes.
But mostly it's just the idea. Anything where you take a wrestler and put him in the real world, it's funny. I mean, in a much more down-to-earth sense, remember when Flair got his traffic incident and Edge did a video dressing and acting like Flair out on the street?
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. This obviously,
or the Heartbreakers going to the gym.
Or the Heartbreakers
the
going
mall.
To the gym, they're going to the mall, or any of these things. Or this was obviously, this goes into, you know, fantasy cartoon magic land, but it's Kane using his magic powers in a practical household manner.
Mm-hmm.
He lit the barbecue with his fire powers. I laughed. Alberto came out, said everyone was jealous of him because he was in this country legally. He vowed to send Sheamus back to his homeland like he would do to all these people. He demanded to see their papers. He approached a plant, demanded to see his papers. The fans said, "We're not in Arizona, we're in Texas."
Everyone it's an interesting gimmick.
Cheered. Sheamus came down and they brawled and Ricardo cut him off and they slammed the car hood on him. And that was that.
I'm a little worried about this immigration gimmick.
Why is that?
I just figure it's something wacky, like it's going to lead to the discovery that Ricardo Rodriguez doesn't have papers, and so they deport him.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Although, unless it leads to skits of Ricardo in Tijuana.
Trying to get back in?
Trying to get back in, yeah, exactly. In his tux, all the time. Yeah. Wandering the desert in his tux. I've changed my mind. This must happen. This is a great idea. So, showed the angle again after commercial. They were helping Sheamus out of the arena. He had a small trickle of blood on his forehead. Poor Antonio Cesaro. Antonio and Oksana versus Kali and Layla.
What a battle.
Jesus. This is the one where Kali, who at this point is in fact a statue. He can't do anything. He threw a forearm to Antonio's head, and in the process, damn near fell down. Had to put both hands on the mat to break his fall. Still didn't bend his knees. So they put Kali in there to make Antonio look small. And they had him get beat up to make him look weak. And had it look bad to make him look incompetent. Just everything they could do to make him look bad. So he tags out to Oksana. And it's the girls against the girls. I guess it was better than with Colleen in there. I'm really not sure. Cole described it as interesting. Layla won with a neck breaker. At least it was short. I think I spent more time talking about it than this match actually went.
Yeah.
And afterwards, the only positive here was watching Colleen attempt to dance to Layla's music.
I don't know if this is true or not. I haven't seen his contract, but the story I heard is that Colleen's got a huge contract. I don't know why, but...
I do. Vince likes big guys.
Well, I kind of just figure that... My whole theory was that Vince knows this dude's, like, literally on his last legs. He can barely walk. He wants to make the guy as much money as possible before he's done. But for whatever reason, he's got this big contract, and so I think part of it also is they got to justify this huge contract by putting the dude on TV all the time. And it leads to this!
Yeah. Perhaps you were right. Teddy ran into Cody Rhodes backstage. Cody announced the board of directors had granted him another chance to qualify for the Money in the Bank match. And Teddy said, yeah, but it's against Christian, and you've never beat him. So we had Mick Foley's favorite Raw moment. Could have sworn like 2 weeks ago his favorite Raw moment was the This Is Your Life sketch. Apparently he changed his mind.
I thought one was like his favorite Raw moment and one was his favorite moment involving himself, which both ended up involving himself, but anyway.
So yeah, he talked about winning the championship for the first time and...
They could have at least had him do one as Mick Foley and one as Mankind.
Oh, that would have been awesome. And then one as Cactus.
Yeah.
Just some random time he got to hit somebody.
Took me 1 second to think of that, by the way, and they didn't.
Well, I don't know if anyone working for them was watching when he was Cactus and Dude Love and Foley. So,
actually, there were a lot of guys, there are a lot of guys on the roster that had never seen the Brooklyn Brawler. So when he went out there and wrestled his doink, it was the first time they ever saw him work.
Hmm. They didn't know he could go at all. They didn't know he was trained.
They just knew he yelled a lot.
He was just a loud guy backstage all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a jobber.
Didn't look bad, actually. Didn't do anything.
Steve Lombardi. Yeah. He wrestled for a long-ass time.
Well, it's kind of the point. He's kind of old now.
Right, but my point is that he's clearly competent.
Yes.
Yes. So, anyway, they showed Foley's win. Wrestling was different then. People cared a lot more than they do now, including me. And Michael Cole was once a halfway decent announcer. And I actually still remember this call about how Foley had done this for everyone who'd ever been told they couldn't do it. This was a big fucking deal. And then they just put up a graphic on the screen announcing that 600,000 people turned the channel to watch this. And Nitro never beat Raw in the ratings again. Of all the big moments they've supposedly showed, this one actually came off like the biggest.
That's a pretty big one.
It was up there.
I don't think it was up there with Mike Tyson and Steve Austin having a brawl.
That was big, too. And for comedy purposes, I will go with a bedpan.
That was a great comedy moment.
That will never not make me laugh, looking back on that. So we had Cody versus Christian. Honestly, I got nothing to say about this. It was a 2.5, maybe 2.75 star match. It was fine. They countered a bunch of finishers. Cody hit the crossroads and won. He's in the SmackDown match now.
That done about covers it.
All right. There are more shenanigans backstage. More Alicia in her bikini, which is great. So, Zach wanted to play his boy band music. Heath interrupted and began to sing. They threw garbage at him.
I like that his list of boy bands was like... A bunch of bands from the 90s, and then Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
It was like, Justin Bieber, New Kids on the Block, NSYNC. It's like, where did you come up with this list?
You missed 15 years there.
Yeah. Well, has there been a good boy band in the last 15 years?
There may not have been, actually.
I figured you'd know.
I'm thinking. I can't think of any. Okay, so anyway, Zach played Brodus' music. And
get on the Google box.
The Google box?
Great boy bands of the OOs. Let's see. There actually is a Wikipedia.
I was going to say, they got just a list of boy bands.
Boy band 21st century. Let's see.
One Direction, is that it? Are they a boy band? I know that name.
Since 2001, look at this. Look at how good I am. Since 2001, the dominance of traditional boy bands on pop charts began to fade. Although some MTV dude described new boy bands that are, quote, more likely to resemble Good Charlotte, Simple Plan. It doesn't look like there was a whole bunch of them.
Hmm.
Jonas Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, when I hear the name the Jonas Brothers, I picture men in their 50s. I don't know why. It seems to be about it.
All right.
There you go.
Well, that's one I didn't get. Anyway, yeah, Brodus came out and they danced. He had Alex Riley versus Dolph Ziggler.
There's a section here in the Wikipedia.
I thought you were just laughing at Alex Riley.
Under boy band. Key factors of the concept. I can only imagine that five-paragraph disaster right there.
Well, go ahead.
Here we go. Best-selling, actually, let's do look at the best-selling boy bands in history.
Beatles.
Number one is the Backstreet Boys.
Mm. Actually, yeah. All right.
The Beatles apparently are not listed as a boys band here.
Just because they could actually play good music, too, does not mean they were.
Backstreet Boys sold 130 million plus records. They're still active, apparently, by the way.
Touring with the New Kids.
Jackson 5, 100 million plus. New Kids on the Block, 80 million plus. The Osmonds, 77 million.
The Osmonds?
The Bay City Rollers in the UK, 70
million.
Is there
more than one boy in the Osmonds? Mustn't you have multiple boys to be a boy band?
It says members 7.
Oh, all right. I guess there was a whole Osmond family I was not aware of.
The Monkees, 65 million. Beating out Boyz II Men and NSYNC. Both had 60 and 55 million, respectively. And also, Take That from the UK. Yes. And Westlife from Ireland. How about that? We've also, see here, all-female band and girl group, which are apparently two different Wikipedias.
Don't ask me.
Baffling.
I would just like to point out that as two mid to late 30-year-old men here, we've spent much time tonight talking about cats and boy bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Go on.
You sure?
I've satisfied myself.
You've exhausted all potential boy band knowledge? Cole brought AJ for an interview. Oh, I missed the Alex Riley thing.
I see here. I think the reason they didn't mention the Beatles was because they were not a manufactured band.
I see.
That makes sense.
Well, it does. That's
so I guess
fair.
Boy bands must be manufactured. Is that what it's saying here?
Part of it is, yeah, sure. A bunch of random talent.
Mainly, boy bands are brought together by a producer through an audition process.
Yes, yes.
Although some form on their own. What about Menudo?
Talking about dating myself there. As I recall, Menudo would be like the ultimate boy band because they had like an age limit. And once you turned like 18, they kicked you out and brought in a new guy.
Hmm.
I don't know if they're still around or not. All I can tell you is that from conversations of my mother, I assure you she reacted to boy bands, or she reacted to the Beatles like all teenage girls have reacted to all boy bands since the dawn of time. At least the dawn of boy bands. She still, in fact, likes Paul McCartney.
It appears there's no more Menudo. Years active, 1977.
That's actually really funny if you know what Menudo means.
To 1997.
We're out of Menudo!
And a brief run, 2007 to 2009, and apparently faded out.
Oh.
That's too bad.
No mas menudo. So, Dolph Ziggler beat Alex Riley. The only notable thing here is that poor Alex, now, he did not get an entrance, just an introduction, just like the geeks who Ryback beats.
Yeah.
Dolph won. I guess Dolph is also the Money in the Bank now. He'll probably win, actually.
Him or Cody,
yeah.
Actually, since everybody knows that, it'll probably be like Kane.
He's in the other one.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be Santino or Damian Sandow.
Actually, honest to God, I couldn't put it past him putting on Damian Sandow as a swerve.
That would be intriguing. That would be something else. So Cole brought out AJ for an interview. First, he started berating her and cutting her off and... Then he started hitting on her and listing all his credentials. Then Brian came out and said he knew AJ was just trying to put Punk through the table. It had only been an accident that he went through as well. And Punk came out and said she needed help. Crowd was not into this. They were just shouting C over and over again. So finally, AJ slapped the mic out of Daniel Bryan's hands and gave him a lewd kiss. A lot of fluids exchanged here. This hurt Punk's feelings.
he was sad and mopey and hangdog, and he went to leave, but AJ ran him down and gave him a kiss that put the Brian kiss to shame. And then she skipped out, and they played her music, and the two men were left watching her skip away, both confused and hurt. This is not the best way to build a champion and challenger I've ever seen.
Don't remind me.
I have not seen the Sun and Silva highlight or promo videos yet.
Better than this.
I bet they're better. And I bet at no point does a girl leave them both humiliated and alone.
No, that does not happen.
Just call it a hunch. Call it a hunch.
That's going to do more buys.
It will. By a great, great amount. He had a wacky, random old guy six-man with Santino, Sergeant Slaughter, and Hacksaw Duggan versus Hunico and Camacho and Drew McIntyre. The only thing I got out of this is that you forget sometimes just what a big, big, big human being Hacksaw is. When he was in there with Hunico, he looked like Goliath.
He's a big dude.
He's an enormous man. So the babyfaces won. Somebody took the Cobra. I think it was Camacho. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. There's a wacky backstage segment where Damian Sandow attempted to end the party. Ryder told him to leave. They got into a brawl. Ryder tried to throw the punch ball on him. Damian dodged, and Eve got soaked in punch, and everyone laughed at her.
Poor Eve.
Yeah. So, Ryback beat Curt Hawkins. Same Ryback match as always.
Actually, wasn't he? Faced a...
There's one guy.
Something of a name.
I suppose. The only difference is that it's someone you've heard of before, and he only beat one guy, and the Geek still cut a promo where, well, basically it was Tyler Rex and Curt Hawkins talking about how they could both beat Ryder, and he beat Curt, so I assume next week he will beat Tyler.
You mean Ryback.
What did I say?
Ryder.
I do. I meant Ryback. That's a big difference. Also, somewhere in here, Michael Cole claimed that No Holds Barred, which just came out on DVD today, was already the world's number one selling DVD. You're checking that right now, I assume?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think the chart would even be out.
That's why I'm wondering how the... Would it be on Amazon?
Best selling DVDs for July 3rd, yeah, 2012.
For July 2nd, 2012, yes.
All right. Actually, best selling DVDs for July 4th.
Impressive.
Number one.
That's right. What is okay?
Secret of Arrietty. That's not No Holds Barred.
I bet not.
Number two, Act of Valor. Wrath of the Titans. Red Tails. Mirror, Mirror. The Help. Oh, Sherlock Holmes. Fork Jesus. Over Knives. War Horse. Buck.
Every one of these movies that I've seen was bad.
It's First Page. Senna. George Harrison. Tangled. Inside Job. Run, Ricky, Run. Food Inc. Without Bias. King's Ransom. I don't see it here. Pride and Prejudice. From 2005. Is selling better than No Holds Barred, it appeared.
Maybe they
oh,
meant...
Oh, brother, where art thou?
That's a great movie. Maybe he meant the top-selling video on our own website.
Not even on Blu-ray, for Christ's sake.
I don't know what the hell they're talking about. So, the Raw flashback, the other one. Donald Trump remembered the time that he gave everyone on Raw money so they would like him more than Vince McMahon.
I'm sorry, I'm reading another headline.
Almost the words he said.
Trump, by the way, was awesome on this thing here. This is from the Baltimore Sun. Actually, Art Ockel wrote it. Art Ockel. Make no bones about it. No Holds Barred is no good.
Is that a 2012 headline?
That's today.
Wow. He went back and reviewed it. Yeah.
Oh. I don't see anything here about best-selling. In fact, I would bet if I put best-selling in my search, I would not have any... Yeah, it's not looking good for their... Yeah, no matches for No Holds Barred and best-selling. That's too bad. All right!
So we had a Battle Royal. Winner of the Battle Royal gets to be the SmackDown GM next week.
Mm-hmm.
Brodus Clay got dumped by The Big Show in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Bad times.
I actually thought the winner of this was going to be Alberto Del Rio because I felt that would have played in his storylines of him making Sheamus miserable on the go-home show before the pay-per-view. Apparently, I thought too much about this.
That could have been a good idea, Brian. That could have been a good idea.
But no, that's not what they did.
So, just listing some of the... Well, don't know how much this is important, but Zack knocked out Damian Sandow. They're still feuding. Punk and Brian eliminated each other. Kane and Del Rio fucked up a side slam, of all things. Big Show, who has been the unstoppable monster for months and it took 18 men or whatever to beat him in the cage match, Kane got to chokeslam him.
Mm-hmm.
Just 24 hours after Show beat him, now that I think about it. Cena ran wild, dumped a bunch of, run wild on a bunch of heels. He dumped Tensai, but Show, the Big Show, ran up behind him and eliminated him.
Mm-hmm.
So it came down to Big Show, Dolph, Kane, and Zack. And Dolph and Show were eliminated pretty quickly by Kane. And so it was Kane and Zack, and they had a short match. And then Kane charged, and Zack low-bridged him, and Kane went over. So Zack won the Battle Royal. He is the guest SmackDown GM next week. And most Battle Royals suck. By those standards, this is pretty good.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
I've seen many, many, many worse Battle Royals.
I'm just kind of baffled that Zack Ryder is going to be the GM for the go-home edition of SmackDown before the pay-per-view.
They are more interested in entertaining themselves.
Yeah, but it's not. He's not even their guy. He's not even a guy that they consider entertaining. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you look at how they booked the guy, I mean, they obviously consider him a clown.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just figured when this was over, first thing I figured was Alberto Del Rio kills this guy on Raw and takes a spot on SmackDown as the GM.
I see.
Could end up doing that. It's the kind of thing they do. It's the kind of thing they do. All right, everybody. Anyway, I am out of here. I've got to go. I've got to jump on an airplane. And I'm going to head to Las Vegas for our annual convention weekend, as well as UFC 148, Sonnen versus Silva 2, which is being built up much better than Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, I'm afraid. But
Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, 481.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun weekend. It's going to be awesome. As noted, F4WFan at hotmail.com is the email if you want more information from Ed on anything going on this weekend. The information is up on the front page as well. And you can follow me on Twitter. I will be updating everybody with our whereabouts, where we're going to be, what we're doing. If you'd like to meet up, we've got a lot of get-togethers planned over the next several days. Going to do a lot of shows as well from beautiful Las Vegas. So it's going to be a fun time, everybody. So those of you sticking around, have a good time. Those of you that are already in Vegas, I shall see you soon, my friends. And everybody else, we'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.